out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
To the broadcast, once again, American Exposé, and I'm Chris Turner, and well, we just deal with the direction that comes into place every night, God willing. We sort of had a scare today. Linda Kennedy's been uncovering a lot of information, evidently, and she certainly has it documented on her website, which is linked to our website, or my website, or our website. I call it ours because Darren does it. And tonight is the 28th, July 28th, live broadcast. So Linda Kennedy came up missing to some people, and she was found again. But the power in place, the power structure in place, wants to deal with those that are dealing with the truth. And that is the spooky part about all this, as some people are spooked about it. Most aren't. My feeling has been from the start, a country that leaves its POWs behind in these UN police actions deserves what they get. And that's the way I felt for a long time. We're in a situation today where we don't know who to trust. And talk show hosts out there are wasting time on the air, not doing the right thing, not doing the documenting, and that's why I'm back. Because you needed me back. I'm sorry to say this. I truly am. Because why should it be my responsibility to do it, do the documenting and putting out this raw information? Others can do it. Just because I do it doesn't mean they can't. And maybe they don't have the knowledge. But searching it out is not a difficult thing to do, especially today with the computer. 10 years ago, it was even more difficult because you'd have to go to your law libraries. Well, today, you don't have to do that. Today, you can access on the Internet most everything. But people just don't seem to care until it affects them. Well, there's plans underway for another Pearl Harbor to happen soon. there's been plans for a long time for the population to be put into concentration camps. That has been in place for a long time. Wagner's promoted it on his broadcast, the information about that, from recordings. I have here People of the United States of America by William R. Pabst versus Gerald Ford, President of the United States, the United States District Court for the Southern District of Texas, Houston, Texas. Be it remembered that the above entitled and numbered cause lately pending in said court, in which final judgment and order was entered on 30th day of September, 1976. The Honorable Carol O. Bue, Jr., Judge of the United States District Court of the Southern District of Texas, presiding, the following proceedings were had, to wit. Once again, People of the United States of America, by William Pabst. The plaintiff, Gerald Ford, President of the United States. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of the Defense. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of the Defense. He's been around quite a while, hasn't he? Not sure the first name, but H. Calloway, Secretary of the Army. Frederick C. Wyand, Chief of Staff, U.S. Army. Lieutenant General Alan M. Burdett, Jr., Commanding General, 5th Army. Colonel Harry Jeans, Law Enforcement Division, Deputy Chief of Staff for Personnel, U.S. Army. To the above-named defendant, Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State. You are hereby summoned and required to serve upon. And William Pabst was a pro se litigant. An answer to the complaint, which is herewith served upon you within 60 days after service of this summons upon you, exclusive of the day of service. If you fail to do so, judgment by default will be taken against you for the relief demanded in the complaint. Signed by Sam Ventura, Deputy Clerk, April 20th, 1976. What is this all about, people? It's about a suing of the concentration camp program on these people. And it's very lengthy. Karen Lee Bixman found it. Gave it to me when she got out of the information business. It's very lengthy. And I don't know how and where to get into it for you to listen to me tell you about it. As I just pulled it off the shelf. And I'm very, very careful about what I deal with when I'm talking to you listeners. But it's all about a fellow named William Pabst, who sued the U.S. government about the concentration camp program in America. Page after page after page after page. And guess what? No one knows what happened to William Pabst. This is my point, people. No one knows what happened to William Pabst. And so Linda Kennedy came up, and she hasn't disappeared. But I'm saying this in order to hopefully protect her, because there's other people that have preceded her in disclosing documentation about where we're going. Donald Rumsfeld, Henry Kissinger, live and well, running around. Gerald Ford. What do they know about the concentration camp program in America? And, you know, the legalese, the paperwork with this documentation is just so voluminous. In one of the closing statements, they say plaintiff has failed to meet the prerequisite for injunctive relief. And it says, as previously stated, plaintiff has failed to show that the government has or will ever maintain secret prisoner of war camps or mental institutions in the United States to house American citizens considered undesirable during domestic crises. Additionally, the plaintiff has failed to show that he or his class are being immediately threatened by government action. Well, when everything's top secret, people. But those that have gone out to prove the concentration camps don't exist come back and say, yes, they do exist, and they become believers. Closed military installations being converted for certain purposes. My point is, where is it going to happen next? Where someone disappears that's uncovering the truth? And what are we on? But nothing more than a mom and pop station. Actually, it's just a pop station. There isn't even a mom involved in this one. That is the problem, that we have small outlets for getting information out, and that's all. And this is the sad commentary that we live today. I look at this, dated August 3rd, 76. A motion to dismiss in opposition to a preliminary injunction. Statement of the case. Plaintiff has brought a class action suit in this court seeking declaratory and injunctive relief based on a claim that his right of free speech and that of persons similarly situated is being chilled by the existence of a Department of Defense and Army computer program, or a program to which defendants have access for the arrest and or control of an intermediate number, of an indeterminate number of United States citizens due to their previous outspoken, nonviolent political conduct against the internal and foreign policies of the United States of America. In addition, plaintiff alleges that rights are being chilled by the active planning and preparation of mental institutions to be utilized in the aforementioned program. What have we just been covering? That every person in this country is to be screened for mental illness. Is this relevant? This is 1976, people. In the prayer for relief, plaintiff asked the court to convene a three-judge court to require defendants to show cause by a writ of mandamus, should just issue, so require defendants to show cause why the Department of Justice should be compelled to file criminal charges against certain defendants, to enjoin the alleged programs, and to award plaintiff and his class the costs and attorney fees of their litigation. And just one of many pages. Here we see memorandum of points and authorities to in support of motion for protective order. Once again, people of the United States, X.L. William R. Pabst versus Gerald Ford, President of the United States. On April 20th, 1976, the plaintiff commenced this action by filing a complaint asking for injunctive relief, writ of mandamus, convening a three-judge court, and for its cost and attorney's fees. The defendants have timely answered and have filed a motion to dismiss. Grounds for the motion to dismiss were: one, the complaint fails to present a justiciable claim; two, the court lacks subject matter jurisdiction; three, the action is barred by the doctrine of sovereign immunity. What is that? The court has yet to decide the issue raised by that motion. Defendants hereby move the court to stay any and all discovery to which plaintiff may resort, pending the court's ruling on the defense, on the defendant's motion to dismiss, which motion, if granted, will be depositive of this action. Not much going on there. My point is, this man has disappeared. Dr. Papps disappeared. As more and more information comes out about what's going on in America today, and certainly people out there like Alex Jones, Joyce Riley, certainly aren't doing us any service. And they've got the stadium mentality people corralled into thinking they're good people. When they don't document where we're going, when they don't talk about UN America, when they don't talk about the infiltration of the State Department into the communitarian communist direction that Joan Vion has discussed in her book, United Nations Global Straitjacket. I mean, this was a very expensive lawsuit and time-consuming. Back in 1976, what were you doing in 1976? Well, I know what I was doing, and I sure wasn't paying attention to our country. Here we see... let's see, this is dated August 27, 1976. Defendants misstate the case and make erroneous denials in their answer. Defendants in their statement of the case in the above referenced instrument misstate the case. They fail to note the reference in plaintiff's complaint of paragraph 6 and 7, noting that existence and purpose of an obscure military operation called the 300th Military Police Prisoner of War Command at Livonia, Michigan, whose purpose in shorthand terms is likened in said complaint by reference to the concentration camps utilized in Germany during that period in history commonly known as World War II. The existence of said command has been verified in writing by a representative of the President of the United States and in two congressional inquiries, but was denied by the U.S. Attorney in his answer in violation of Rule 11, Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, which states, quote, signature of an attorney constitutes a certificate by him that he has read the pleading and that to the best of his knowledge, informative and belief, there is good ground to support it and that is not interposed for delay, end quote. For a willful violation of this rule, an attorney may be subjected to appropriate disciplinary action, and that's the end quote there, another end quote, quote, end quote. Additionally, the program alleged in plaintiff's complaint includes further information as to some of the geographical areas designed to be used as the concentration camp sites. The computer program, which is maintained to prepare the lists of persons who will be imprisoned in such camps, and a further program utilizing mental health facilities for such purposes. And yet, the whole country is to be screened for mental illness today? What is mentally ill in the other side's desires and designs? What do they consider mentally ill? They say the defendants in the instrument, we're talking about the defendants, Gerald Ford and company. Defendants in the instrument above cited misstate the relief prayed for by plaintiffs. Plaintiffs are requesting restating the prayer that the court, I'm having trouble comprehending this, one, advance the case on the docket, order a speedy hearing at the earliest practicable date, cause this case to be in every way expedited in a trial, or expedited, excuse me, in a trial by jury, two, compel the defendants by means of mandamus to comply with their oath of office. Number three, issue a temporary and permanent injunction under the conditions described in plaintiff's complaints, prayer for relief. Four, order the Department of Justice to show cause why it should not be compelled to file criminal charges, including but not limited to the high crime of treason against defendants under the conditions described in plaintiff's complaints, prayer for relief. It goes on and on and on, people. No one knows what happened to William Pabst. No one knows what happened to William Pabst. My point again, those of us that are trying to do the right thing for our country and our fellow man, our fellow man, black, white, green, purple, doesn't matter who they are, our fellow man, the human race. The human race does not want to be herded off into concentration camps. The human race did not want to be declared refugees. And yet, according to the UN themselves, 50 million people are displaced and refugees in the world. I covered that last week. In the newspaper. And part of it was because of overdevelopment. Part of it was because of wars. And part of it was because of severe weather. We covered that pretty lengthy, and I don't know where it is. I didn't save it. I don't save as much as I used to. But if there wasn't such a thing as an Illuminati, some want to call it a Zionist Illuminati. There are symbols on the back of the dollar bill. The Great Seal. It's a set-up system. The U.S. military was to be the police force for the U.N. And certainly that's what's been going on. We've been brainwashed into believing that the Afghanistan war that the Soviets had from 1979 to 1989 was their Vietnam. According to Jeff Nyquist, only 15,000 Soviet military died during that time. 15,000. During our 10-year Vietnam War, 58,000 plus died. It's just a sad commentary that we live today as I thumb through this lawsuit, page after page after page after page. A lot of work of copying of this documentation about a concentration camp program in America. It's very full of legalese. It'd be better to get it in Linda Kennedy's hands, as she's a legal beagle or a legal eagle. I don't even like to use the eagle anymore. The symbology of the eagle. It says here the Department of Government is to be kept distinct. The powers of the state of Texas shall be divided into three district or distinct departments, each of which shall be confined to a separate body of magistracy, to wit. Oh, man. Here's another section. legalese, people, very difficult. Quote, whether a conspiracy exists is a factual question to be determined by the trier of facts. And it is only necessary that a defendant know of conspiracy, associate himself with it, and knowingly contribute his efforts in its furtherance. Participation in conspiracy need not be proved in direct evidence, and a common purpose and plan may be inferred from a development and collection of circumstances. It is not necessary that there be a formal agreement in order to have an unlawful conspiracy. An intent to injure or defraud may be proven by circumstantial evidence, and the trier of fact is permitted to consider all surrounding circumstances in making the determination. They go on in another section, the rule of law announced in the United States versus Butler, 297 U.S. 1, certainly confirms the restrictions on the federal government. Quote, the government of the United States is a government of delegated powers. It is only such powers as are expressly conferred upon it by the Constitution and such as are reasonably to be implied from those expressly granted. But they don't go by the Constitution. They say they do, but they don't go by the Constitution. Somebody can do a drug deal on your property. You may not even know them. They do a drug deal on your property and you lose your assets. You lose your property if they're found out. Someone can set you up and you can lose your possessions, lose your livelihood, lose your place of residence, lose your home. We're in a police state now. We're in stage 3 of State Department Publication 7277. We're just one more created conflict away from the concentration camps, is the point I'm saying, the point I'm trying to make. Most don't care. They're too busy. That's why I covered silent weapons for quiet wars again. But you have people like Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist, 238 questions asked of them by someone that spent 9 months with them. And yet she's has all the prominence on the airwaves. And certainly I gave her prominence back in 1999. I got her start on Genesis out of my ignorance to the situation. And the point is, Linda Kennedy found all this out. Had she not spent the 9 months with Joyce and Dave, we still wouldn't know about her, would we? We'd be stuck with what Jackie Petru said, what Peter Kouachas said, which Linda Kennedy has corroborated now. So now it's bigger. It's larger. And apparently, Joyce Riley's actually on the other side. And the information is linked on the website, linked on Darren's website, linked on Jackie's website. And the problem is, who are you going to trust in this day and time when there's actually concentration camps set up for us and they're waiting for the next created crisis to put us in them? Sorry to say. I wish there was somebody operating in the forge tonight. I'd like to hear from you.
FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. What should the true Christian response to the homosexual marriage license debate be? It should be the same response that Christians should have had to marriage licensing in the first place. The very definition of a license demands that we not obtain one to marry. Black's Law Dictionary defines license as the permission by competent authority to do an act which, without such permission, would be illegal. We need to ask ourselves, why should it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? More importantly, why should we need the state's permission to participate in something which the Creator himself instituted? We do not need the state's permission to marry. What if you apply and the state says no? You must understand that the authority to license implies the power to prohibit. A license, by definition, confers a right to do something. The state cannot grant the right to marry because it is a God-given right. Should homosexuals have the right to obtain a marriage license? Let them grovel before their God, the state, for permission to do that which is unlawful in the eyes of the Creator. What should we do? Christian couples should not be marrying with state marriage licenses, nor should ministers require them. Some have said, if someone is married without a marriage license, then they won't really be married. Given the fact that states may soon legalize same-sex marriages, we need to ask ourselves, if a man and a man marry with a state marriage license, and a man and a woman marry without a state marriage license, who's really married? In reality, this contention that people are not really married unless they obtain a marriage license simply reveals how statist people are in their thinking. We need to think biblically. You should not be required to obtain a license from the state to marry any more than you need one to be a parent, which in some academic and legislative circles are currently pushing to be made law. But that is another topic. This free speech moment has been brought to you by FirstAmendmentRadio.com. If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
With the broadcast, and certainly PokerFace.com is the website. They do a superlative job. I'm looking at this lawsuit. Here's a portion filed May 4th, 1976 in the United States District Court for the Southern District of Texas, Houston Division. People of the United States of America, XREL, whatever that means, E-X-R-E-L, two abbreviations, William R. Papps versus Gerald Ford, President, United States. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense. Isn't that what he is now? Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense. Secretary of Defense. Yes, yes, Secretary of Defense. What does the Secretary of Defense do? Howard H. Calloway, Secretary of the Army. General Frederick C. Wyand, Chief of Staff, United States Army. Lieutenant General Alan M. Burdett, Jr., Commanding General, 5th Army. Colonel Herogenes, Law Enforcement Division, Deputy Chief of Staff for Personnel, United States Army. Colonel B.C. Young, Provost Marshal, 5th Army. Mr. Fenneran, 300th MP POW Command, the Commander 300th MP POW Command. Edward H. Levi, Attorney General. Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State. Forrest Matthews, Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, and or their successors in office, officially and individually. Civil Action Number 76-8-667, ex parte motion for leave to take deposition of witness without notice. Plaintiff moves the court pursuant to Rule 30A of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure to grant an order to take the deposition of Mr. Richard M. Barrage, 75th Maneuver Area Command. They even have the address and the phone number. A witness in the above, styled and numbered cause, and for a subpoena, Deuces Tukum, pursuant to Rule 45 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, commanding him to bring to said disposition the latest copy of each training manual, as well as each training document upon which he has worked directly or indirectly for the 300th Military Police Prisoner of War Command. Said disposition to be taken within 30 days after the date of commencement of this action on the grounds that said witness, A, is the individual who writes the training programs for the 300th Military Police Prisoner of War Command and has done so for a number of years. B, said witness is the person most familiar with the program in the United States. And C, since an unusual and potentially dangerous activity on the part of the federal government has been discovered, in light of the acts committed by agents of the federal government that are brought out at the Watergate hearings and the resulting criminal trials and convictions, said witness may be in great danger when the existence of this action begins to filter down through the federal bureaucracy and place in jeopardy the possibility of obtaining such testimony. Hence, this testimony should be secured as soon as possible. Said disposition to be reported by a duly authorized court reporter and taken at the federal building, 515 Rusk, Houston, Texas, or as the court directs. Respectfully submitted, William R. Papps. Plaintiffs for... William Papps for the plaintiffs. Obviously a reality in place, the 300th Military Police Prisoner of War Command. Here we see, as I've looked this over a little more, April 2nd, 1976, 76-8-667, the civil action number 76-8-667. This action arises in the complaint against the concentration camp program of the Department of Defense. That's what it says here. Complaint against the concentration camp program of the Department of Defense. Do you suppose Donald Rumsfeld would answer any of these questions? As he's, I believe, Secretary of Defense right now. And he's Secretary of Defense back in 1976. And I just found that out just as I opened this up, just before the start of this broadcast tonight. Amazing. This action arises under the Constitution of the United States, the First and Fifth Amendments thereof. Jurisdiction of this court is invoked pursuant to Title 28 U.S. Code and 1346A2. Venue of this matter is pursuant to Title 28 U.S. Code, Section 1391E. Plaintiff of this action on his own behalf and on behalf of all other persons similarly situated pursuant to Rule 23, Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. This class which plaintiff represents is composed of United States citizens who are or have been and continue to be or might be or may have been conjunctively or disjunctively adversely affected by the practices complained of herein. There are common questions of law and fact affecting the rights of the members of this class who have been, are, and continue to be conjunctively or disjunctively adversely affected by the practices complained of herein. These persons are so numerous that joinder of all members is impracticable. A common relief is sought. The interests of said class are adequately represented by plaintiff. Defendants have acted or refused to act on grounds generally applicable to this class. As I interject, William Patz was a pretty courageous individual, going to all this work to disclose this information. William Patz probably helped to keep things from turning worse than they have to the point where we are today. We move to Roman numeral 3. This is a proceeding for a declaratory judgment as to plaintiff's rights and for a permanent injunction restraining defendants from committing the acts complained of herein. Restraining defendants from committing the acts complained of herein. Once again, who are the defendants? Gerald Ford, President of the United States. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense. Harold Calloway, Secretary of Army. General Frederick C. Wyand, Chief of Staff, United States Army. Blah, blah, blah. Henry Kissinger. Anyway, most of these former military people, most of these former employees of the federal government keep their traps shut because of their pensions. And can you blame them? If they don't get their pensions, they don't survive. And there we are. Those that are making the money on talk radio deal with the deception that everybody swallows. You're never going to hear Alex Jones talk about the concentration camp program in America. You're never going to hear Joyce Riley talk about the concentration camp program in America. You're never going to hear Art Bell talk about the concentration camp program in America. You're never going to hear George Norrie talk about the concentration camp program in America. You're never going to hear Rush Limbaugh talk about the concentration camp program in America. And you're never going to hear many others talk about it either. Goes on to state, plaintiff William R. Papps is a citizen of the United States and a resident of Houston, Harris County, Texas. Defendants are officials of the government. That's right. Defendants are officials of the government of the United States and are being sued in their official capacities and in their individual capacity as citizens of the United States. Said defendants may be served with service or of process as follows. Oh, my God. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, got his phone number here, Washington, D.C. Howard Calloway, Secretary of the Army, phone number's right here. General Frederick C. Wyand, all these different people, Lieutenant General Alan M. Burdett, Colonel Haragons, Law Enforcement Division, Deputy Chief of Staff for Personnel, U.S. Army Pentagon, Colonel B.C. Young, Mr. Fenneran, 300th MP POW Command, Livonia, Michigan, Mr. Fenneran. The Commander, 300th MP POW Command, Livonia, Michigan. Edward H. Levi, Attorney General, Constitution Avenue and 10th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State, got the address, 2201 C Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. Forrest Matthews, Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. These are the defendants in this case dealing with the concentration camp program in America in 1976. Plaintiff alleges that there exists at Livonia, Michigan, within the free and sovereign territory of the United States of America, an obscure military operation called the 300th Military Police Prisoner of War Command. Members of this command are located throughout the United States. Further, plaintiff alleges that among the purposes of this operation are the detention, incommunicado and otherwise, the imprisonment, the concentration, and the use as a holding point for citizens of the United States for shipment elsewhere to undetermined places. Said prisoners are classified as inventory. Number 8. Further, plaintiff alleges that there exists a Department of Defense, Department of the Army computer program, or a program to which those defendants have access for the arrest and or control of an indeterminate number of United States citizens due to their previous outspoken, nonviolent political conduct against the internal and foreign policies of the United States of America. Oh boy. Now we're getting somewhere. Further, plaintiff alleges that the geographical areas or centers to be used for such concentration and detention facilities include, but are not limited to, Allenwood, Pennsylvania, Mill Point, West Virginia, Greenville, South Carolina, Montgomery, Alabama, El Reno, Oklahoma, Tule Lake, California, Florence, Arizona, Elmendorf, Alaska, Wickenburg, Arizona, and Avon Park, Florida. Further, plaintiff alleges that the United States government is presently building or involved in such building or construction, directly or indirectly, of mental institutions to be utilized as prisons. Said construction is progressing clandestinely in remote areas across the United States. Said mental institutions are being constructed as part of and in conjunction with the above-mentioned programs. They would be operated under the auspices of the Public Mental Service, under the auspices of the Public Health Service of the United States, and are to be used for repression against United States citizens due to their previous outspoken nonviolent political conduct against the internal and foreign policies of the United States of America. Well, people, what have I been doing all these years but ranting and raving about UN and America, ranting and raving about our soldiers being used as guinea pigs, cannon fodder, for slaughter in the Korean War and Vietnam War? And most people out there don't have a clue and don't even give a damn, because their comfort zones are very comfortable. They're very comfortable. They're very complacent. There's the dumbing down process from the 30s and the drugging down process starting in the 60s. Both processes still well underway today, where you can make drugs by going to your store and buying products to build the drugs. It's become that simple and easy. Has the same effect on your body as heroin, ultimately. They call it crank. The point is, this reality from 1976 might have saved us to the point where we are at 2004 and very close to getting in these institutions right now. All as a result of the next created crisis, the next Pearl Harbor. All they have to do is turn the electricity off and everything stops. The gas won't be pumped. The food won't be brought to your stores. The water won't be pumped up from the wells. I'm not trying to paint a bleak picture here, but I'm just stating you realities. Turn off the electrical power and everything stops. Transportation stops. Food production stops. Food purchasing stops. How far are we away from that right now? When somebody just turns off the switch And then he's turned off the switch from his underground facility where the elite are. And they leave us on top of the earth here to fend for ourselves. They wouldn't even have to have us in concentration camp facilities, would they? Let me repeat this here, since I don't remember where I left off. And we're at Section 10 now. Further, plaintiff alleges that the United States government is presently building or involved in such building or construction, directly or indirectly, of mental institutions to be utilized as prisons. Said construction is progressing clandestinely in remote areas across the United States. Said mental institutions are being constructed as part of and in conjunction with the above-mentioned programs. They would be operated under the auspices of the Public Health Service of the United States, and are to be used for repression against United States citizens due to their previous outspoken, nonviolent political conduct against the internal and foreign policies of the United States of America. Well, we're pretty uptight about what's going on now, aren't we? Those of us that are awake. Here we have our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers off to Iraq, many of such coming back in body bags and coffins. They don't really talk about how many are dying over there. They don't really talk about how many civilians over in, or people of Iraq are dying. Innocent people, because you don't know who your enemy is, just like in Vietnam. I continue with Section 11. Plaintiff and the class he represents have no plain, adequate, or complete remedy at law to redress the wrongs alleged herein. And this suit for equitable relief is the only means available of securing same. Number 12, plaintiff and the class he represents are now suffering and will continue to suffer irreparable injury from defendants' policies as set out herein because the active planning and preparation of unconstitutional activities that can only occur during a period when the Constitution is suspended is repugnant to the Constitution, and is an anti-constitutional act depriving plaintiffs of having and exercising their right to free speech by placing them in fear of reprisals for the exercise thereof by means calculated to deprive them of life, liberty, and property without due process of law. Well, isn't that the case with Linda Kennedy? Isn't she in this same circumstance? She's been economically destroyed by Joyce Riley. She makes a lot of money, Joyce Riley does. And yet how much more important is her information than William Papp's information from 1976, which you've never even heard about? Most of you don't have a clue. And don't sit back and say it's all foretold in the Bible, because who wrote it after all these decades and centuries? I believe in God, and I've read the Bible. But we can stop this. If enough people in this country, if enough employees of the federal government knew what this was all about, we could stop the Federal Reserve debt note dollar system. We could become dependent on our own wealth in our own country to support and keep ourselves rolling. We can grow food in America. We can get oil from America. The sovereign countries all over the world can help themselves as well. But a handful of people at the top, passing down the reign through generations, this is what's been going on. In this lawsuit, we have sections of Field Manual 41-10. Just sections of it, establishment and enforcement of restrictions on expropriation of U.S. currency, Recommendations for advances of funds to governmental or private financial institutions. Recommendations for protection of public and private financial institutions and safeguarding funds, securities, and financial records. And here's a section called under the title of Public Health 2-52. They say, this function is concerned with measures to preserve or restore the state of public health and to protect the health of military forces. The Geneva Civilian Convention of 1949 sets forth all the rights and obligations with respect to the wounded, sick, aged children, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, we have a field manual now that's been updated. It gives the UN all the power in the world. All very, very interesting. Dwight Eisenhower makes a statement in this, the Multilateral War Victims Civilians, August 12, 1949, Austria, August 27, 53, Syria, November 2, 1953, Nicaragua, December 17, 1953. Oh, my gosh, it just goes down and down and down. Whereas notifications of accession to the said convention in accordance with Article 156 thereof are given to the government of Switzerland by the governments of the following states, namely, and then you've got the Kingdom of Jordan, May 29, 51, the Union of South Africa, March 31, 52, Japan, April 21, 53, San Marino, August 29, 53. Vietnam, November 14, 1953. It goes on. And whereas, pursuant to the aforementioned provision of Article 153 of the said convention, the convention will come into force with respect to the United States of America on February 2, 1956, 6 months after August 2, 1955, the date of deposit of the United States of America in this instrument of ratification of the said convention. Therefore, be it known that I, Dwight D. Eisenhower, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim and make public the said Geneva Convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in time of war, to the end that the same and every article and clause thereof, subject to the reservation and statement there herein before recited. I didn't know Vietnam signed the Geneva Convention. We were always told Vietnam did not sign the Geneva Convention. Isn't that interesting? According to this information, Vietnam signed it 1953, August 29th, 1953. Well, that's the end of the first hour. Where are we going to go the second hour? Stick around. We'll find out. And you'll find out.
Walking by me like I don't exist. Never offer out your hand or blow me a kiss. I've got nothing to live for, so there's nothing to lose.